Okay, next up we have Ben Fry, 30 years old, a second semester graduate student at Hood College seeking a master's degree in counseling. He is also a classic heavy metal enthusiast, dog lover, and nerd.
Thanks for the intro, Carolyn. Hell of an event we're having so far here. So, folks, I'm going to tell you my story about failing as an emerging adult, and maybe increase the height on this thing if possible, or not. So there I was in the server room of the IT Forensics Investigations Unit for the Securities Exchange Commission, down in the basement, surrounded by a Faraday cage, couldn't communicate with the outside world. The deep breathing wasn't working, the meditation wasn't working, the benzodiazepines weren't working, and I was losing my shit. Rewind to 3 months earlier. I had just gotten my first, you know, big boy job out of college. We're talking, you know, 70K, starting salary, full benefits, you know, government work. You know, I feel like I made it. I'm out on my own, living on my own, paying all my own bills, you know, even putting money away for retirement. You know, it could be more adult than that. And so I started out this work at the SEC, just, you know, logging legal productions, very simple stuff. Eventually, my boss said, "Hey, Ben, you know, we don't think your skills are being fully used here." I had a background in computer science, and I said, "All right, I agree with you." He says, "Do you want to move downstairs to the digital forensics unit?" Now, of course, if you've ever watched a forensics cop show, you're thinking, "Oh, that's the coolest possible thing you could do with IT," and it is. So, you know, I asked my supervisor, "Hey, you know, if this doesn't work out, can I go back to this job?" And he says, "No." So, you know, my whole life I've been a very anxious guy. I generally take the safe path, the easy path, you know, the thing, you know, within my comfort zone. But I was deciding to kind of turn over a new leaf that year. So I said, "You know what? I'll take this position. I will take this new job. Even though if I fail at it, I will be completely screwed." And fail I did. So I'm introduced to the lab. It's a bunch of weird guys in the basement of the SEC, you know, trying to crack codes and stop people like, you know, Bernie Madoff and so forth. And eventually, I realize, like, I am completely in over my head. Like, everyone else is, like, 20, 30 years older than me. They all have, like, serious chops, and I'm the guy that's testing computers in the back room. I was doing a good job testing it, so they said, "Hey, you know, we need you to write some code." And this is another great opportunity for me to say, "No, I can't do that." But, you know, I was in that kind of yes, I can mindset. So I said, "Sure, yes, I will write the software for you. I'm sure, you know, it'll be just like a college project." Several months later, and the code still doesn't work, and I don't know why it doesn't work. I have nothing to tell my boss because I can't even explain why it's not working. And I think this is when the daily panic attacks probably started. At first, it would just be, you know, coming back from lunch, and then later it would be before and after lunch, and then eventually my entire workday was just, you know, 8 straight hours of panic attacks. You can't really work in those kinds of conditions. So I started doing a lot of deep breathing, you know, a lot of meditation. And that would, you know, that would give me a little bit of relief. Found a really quiet place, you know, the server room, nobody in there, just a lot of weird red lights and kind of whirring noises. So good for meditation. And the problem is that what started as a 5-minute meditation break after lunch turned into a 10-minute, into a 20-minute. Now it was a 20-minute before and after. And the next thing I knew, I was spending my entire workday just trying not to have a panic attack, and failing eventually. So I used up all of my medical leave, taking essentially anxiety days off from work, used up all my sick leave, all my FMLA leave, all that jazz. And eventually I had to make a decision whether I could actually do, you know, go to work at this place, or go back, I should say. I hadn't told anyone what was actually going on, so all of my coworkers probably thought I had cancer. Which, you know, there's a sympathy angle there, but I didn't want to be overt with that. So basically, I put on my suit. I got on the train to go into D.C. To meet with my boss's boss's boss. It was one of the scariest days of my life. I sat him down. I said, "Dave, I cannot do this job, and for health reasons, I must resign." He said, "Okay." I signed it, signed out on my paperwork, and I was out of there. It was one of the biggest weights that has ever been taken off of me, just knowing that I didn't have to call in sick again the next day for reasons that I, you know, couldn't even explain to my boss. So that was pretty bad, like, nervous breakdown period right there. But with the help of some very talented counselors, some of whom are in the room right now, I was able to find a new joy in study, which is psychology. And I actually, after 3 years of more failure to get into grad school, got into grad school, and am now studying to become a clinical mental health counselor. Yeah.